Husker Doc Talk Podcast 2014, number 12. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast. This podcast presented by the good folks at the Remington Trophy. The Remington Trophy presentation coming up January 17th at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. For more information, ticket information, sponsorship information, go to RemingtonTrophy.com. I'm Travis Justice. Let's bring in the good doctor himself, Dr. Rob Zadisko. What's up, Doc?
How are you doing?
You know, it couldn't be better. It's been a good start of the week. And, of course, after the Huskers' second half against Northwestern, a lot of people are feeling a lot better. And that's where I want to start, really, is because, you know, college football, a lot of things are in flux. And things go back and forth. I think about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I thought Nebraska might have been the third best team in the Big Ten. I'm now willing to say, to go out of line, that I believe the way it stands right now, Nebraska is the best team in the West Division, and I think if they get to that Big Ten title game, anything's possible against either Ohio State or Michigan State.
You know, I think I probably agree with you in regards to the comment about the Western Division. It's hard to tell because I think the conference does kind of wear teams down a bit. The Big Ten Network guys even talked about that when they were discussing teams. You know, you looked at teams like Minnesota. You looked at teams like Purdue, the weekends they had. You look at what Maryland did. Now, I know that's an Eastern Division team within the conference, but you see some of these teams that are playing really good football right now, and who's to say Nebraska basically just doesn't get nicked up between now and that Iowa game, which is in Iowa City. So I could see a team like Iowa sneaking in there and knocking them off. I could see Nebraska playing Minnesota and having Minnesota looking a lot better than I think Nebraskans are expecting them to. I think a lot of Nebraskans look at that Northwestern Minnesota game and go, well, Northwestern, boy, Minnesota needed that kickoff return to beat Northwestern, and Nebraska pretty much throttled them there in the second half. And if you follow the whole A beats B, B beats C, therefore A should beat C formula.
You well, just that blew doesn't my mind away, work, by the way.
Especially in this conference where you've got a lot of the middle of the pack is really heavily loaded and everybody's really evenly matched, I think. It's going to be hard to tell, I think. And I got to be honest, I was sitting around last night thinking about this to myself, and the thought that kept going through my head was, man, I sure miss the old days of the Big Eight Conference where – you know, even when Nebraska was an okay team, you still really only had to worry about that one big non-conference game and Oklahoma, and then you could kind of go into tailgate mode and cruise through the rest of the conference season.
So you just blew my mind away with that A plus B and C plus D means A equals B. You just blew my mind away with that.
It's the football Pythagorean theorem.
Is that what they call it?
I don't know. That's what I called it.
I know what you mean, but can we look at that second half against Northwestern as maybe a turning point?
I don't know if you'd want to call it a turning point. I think it was they kind of got their butts in gear a little bit. I think they realized that was not Cain Coulter sitting back there, and they unleashed a blitz on him two out of every three plays. And when you do that against a guy like Simeon, who he's not a bad athlete, but the guy is not Cain Coulter, and he's not going to rip off a 40-yard scramble on you like Coulter would. And so I think that probably had a lot to do with it. You start blitzing on defense. I'm absolutely convinced, if you're following me on Twitter at all, you saw my comments about the offensive line, and you saw the I'm going to be interested to see what shows up this weekend on that O-line, because you saw the revamping they did on the right side where they put Chongo Condolo in at right guard. They put in Givens Price at right tackle. And I think the biggest key in it was, no offense to the Pelini family, putting Ryan Reeves in at center. All of a sudden you had push on the offensive line and the running game was working. And the big thing is the short yardage running game was working. When was the last time you saw Nebraska go down on a goal line or on a second and one, third and one, and blast a defensive line into the end zone? You just usually don't see that happening. I mean, you see Armstrong or Martinez dropping back and throwing a ball into the – trying to throw the ball into the end zone on those short and goal situations instead of running it. Now they're just lining it up and just powering into the end zone, and couldn't have put a bigger smile on my face. But it's one of these things, I wonder why we hadn't seen that earlier, at least a little bit of a, hey, let's try something different here. And maybe it's the fact that they moved Price out to center, moved Price out to tackle this year, and it just took him a few weeks to kind of get a feel for the position. Maybe you got a guy like Condolo, who's a transfer in, maybe it took him a couple of months here to really kind of settle into the system. You move Reeves over to the center position, maybe it took him a couple of months to really get a feel for it. But man, that was something to behold there in the second half, and that was something we hadn't seen yet. And I know it's not the best Northwestern defensive line, but I'll be interested to see what that lineup could potentially do against a group like Minnesota, against Michigan State in a rematch potentially, against some of these better talented Big Ten defensive lines.
Of course, the defensive line of Northwestern, not its strong point, but Northwestern had done a good job of keeping teams out of the end zone and not allowing them to score points. Nebraska allowed to score points. You mentioned Doc's Twitter account. If you are not following Doc Talk Sports on Twitter, please do so, at Doc Talk Sports. The only time I tweet, I just want everybody to know, the only time I tweet on that account is when the podcast goes out. Everything else is Dr. Rob Zadiska. So make sure to follow Dr. Rob at Doc Talk Sports. I mentioned the Remington Trophy presentation. It's coming up January 17th at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln, and you're going to want to get there because there's going to be some fabulous speakers there this year, including Gunnar Esiason. Of course, he's basically the face and the voice of cystic fibrosis. He's going to be a special speaker, and the Ford Legends Award winner is going to be former San Diego Chargers standout Courtney Hall. He's got a great story. You're going to want to see these guys, and there's still one more speaker to be announced.
Are you announcing it?
I can't. Dave won't let me yet. I talked to Dave Remington earlier in the week. He says, listen, the I's have not been dotted. The T's have not been crossed. He doesn't anticipate any problems, but hopefully next week we'll be able to announce the third and final speaker.
Because you haven't even told me who it is.
Oh, I haven't told you yet?
No.
Okay. I'll tell you when we're done. Maybe I'll tell you. I'm under like a confidentiality agreement, so I got to keep it super, super quiet.
Yeah, you still got some great speakers there with Gunnar and Courtney, though. Gunnar's going to be that's going to be one of the most interesting speeches you're going to hear in a while when you hear about this guy's life experience. I keep wanting to call him a kid, but he's not a kid anymore.
You know, and I said last week that he was in college. He's actually out of college now. He graduated from Boston College, and now he's blogging. He's doing a lot to really get the awareness out for cystic fibrosis. So it's going to be an inspirational story for sure, because a lot of America, Rob, has grown up with Gunnar Esiason and the story of cystic fibrosis.
Well, if you followed Boomer Esiason at all as a player, because all this kind of started when he was still playing in the NFL, and that some of the most impressive cystic fibrosis research has come in the last 10, 20 years, and a huge amount of it's been funded by that foundation. So, I mean, Gunnar's literally grown up with the ability to see the impact that this foundation has had on cystic fibrosis as a whole, as well as his own life. And you look at Courtney Hall, I mean, you got a guy who, I mean, you got a Pro Bowl offensive lineman in the NFL. And it even goes beyond those guys. I mean, if you go to this event, we went last year, I've been in past years. It's an absolute who's who of the NFL and college football halls of fame. You get some absolute, absolute great players showing up at this event every single year.
Hey, one more thing on the Northwestern game, and that is the Doug McDermott wearing purple video. I think Nebraska fans making way too big of a deal out of this thing.
He's not a Nebraska grad. I see all these Nebraska fans saying, he turned his back on NU. I'm like, he never went to NU. He went to there's that other school up in Omaha, which the knowledge of which kind of disappears somewhere right around the Platte River, I think, as you're driving west on I-80. And it's, you know, it does kind of, it kind of surprised me, the backlash there a little bit, because He is a Creighton University grad. He is not a University of Nebraska grad.
And he grew up in Cedar Falls and Ames. He didn't even graduate from high school in Nebraska.
He's not from Nebraska.
It's just people get their feelings hurt. I think that I think some Nebraska fans won't admit it, you know, publicly, but I think they kind of adopted Doug McDermott because they like the story. I mean, it's hard not to like the kid and the way he plays basketball. So I think even some Husker fans kind of like, okay, I can get behind Doug. And then they see that they just got their feelings hurt. But that's part of sports. He's in Chicago now. Too much of a deal made out of that.
It was not a kid from Nebraska doing an ad for Northwestern. It was a kid from Iowa who played at Creighton doing an ad as a Chicago Bull is what it was. Nothing more, nothing less.
So the Huskers up next will play Rutgers on Saturday. That's going to be an 11 o'clock game. And, of course, this is the Scarlet Knights' first trip through the Big Ten.
Which it hasn't been a bad year for them up until this past week when they hit a buzzsaw on Ohio State.
Yeah, it hasn't been bad, but this is a team that Nebraska should roll through.
They should. You know, I think it was a little bit of a misleading game against Ohio State. And the reason I say that, you made the comment earlier that you'd be interested to see how Nebraska would do in a Big Ten title game, assuming they run the table the rest of the way, go to the Big Ten title game, you think Nebraska would be a troublesome opponent for whoever the East puts out there, whether it's Michigan State or Ohio State. You know, I think that Rutgers game this past weekend against Ohio State, the bigger indicator coming out of that game might be less that, boy, Nebraska should roll through Rutgers, and it might be a little bit more of a wake-up call. I think the rest of the Big Ten needs to kind of take notice that, you know, Ohio State might not have been 100% Braxton Miller, and that was it. I think Urban Meyer is a very, very good coach. I think he's coached this kid back up at quarterback. He's a young guy. But all of a sudden, Ohio State is very quietly been just slaughtering opponents, and all of a sudden, I think people are still kind of thinking that Michigan State has that division of the conference in a gimme, and that if Nebraska wins out in the West, we're automatically going to be facing Michigan State in the East. I'm not so sure anymore, and I think Ohio State's sitting back there going, you know what? We're perfectly happy with people ignoring us for about another 6 weeks here, and then they're just going to rip somebody's head off in that Big Ten title game, and I think we really need to be worried about them. I think that game up in East Lansing between Michigan State and Ohio State all of a sudden has gotten really interesting in my mind, because I think that Rutgers game should have been a wake-up call for the rest of the conference, and I don't think it was.
He's Dr. Rob Zadiska. I'm Travis Justice. This is the Husker Doc Talk podcast. Supporters of the Husker Doc Talk podcast include HuskerMax.com. For the best Husker news that's up to date each and every minute of the day, go to HuskerMax.com. And we got to thank our friends over at the Benson Brewery. If you haven't been to the Benson Brewery in the heart of Benson yet, you're missing out on some of the best beer the state of Nebraska has to offer. It's locally
and
brewed.
And pulled pork and jalapeno slaw.
That's right. And Rob loves the pulled pork sandwich and the jalapeno slaw. So get to
the blue cheeseburger is really good too.
See, you just like the entire menu.
Pretty much.
So get to the Benson Brewery for great beer and great food, and of course live music on Wednesday night. Rob, how much did Tommy Armstrong, how is his leadership, do you think, coming along with as he grows really into that starting role?
I think it's really good. It's one of those things that I think it really depends on when you see around him. You see some of he seems almost like he clicks better with some of the older guys on the team, which is a good indication of it. You see what he's done with some of these young receivers like Pearsonell, where all of a sudden he's got another guy to throw the ball to, and you see a really good relationship developing there. And I think that's a sign of leadership. You saw Kenny Bell coming back this weekend and made a huge difference in the game. You saw what it did having a guy with his kind of senior ability out there making plays at that wide receiver spot. I mean, the guy can just flat out catch the ball. But I think Armstrong's coming along. Is he fully there yet as a team leader? You know, it's going to take a little bit of time, and I think he's kind of ceded that slot maybe to a guy like Abdullah, guys like Kenny Bell. But he's coming along, and he's still – you got to remember, he's still just a sophomore. And at the quarterback position, that's still kind of a hard thing to do. But you see him out there. You see him trying to direct that offense. You see receivers – kind of miss running pass routes, and you can tell by looking at Tommy when that happens, you can tell, you know, he usually kind of shakes his head, and you can tell when you know he's the one who made the mistake. When it's the receiver that screwed up the pass route, you see Tommy showing him where to go after the play. You see him indicating what he should have done after the play. And I think that's a sign of a guy who has a grasp of this offense and isn't afraid to tell the guys around him, hey, here's what we got to do to make this successful. And if you're screwing it up, I'm going to show you what you should have done.
So they make the adjustments on the offensive line. And moving forward, especially in the Rutgers game, what do you worry about this team doing differently or screwing up? Or do you still have worries about this team?
Yeah, I do. I'm worried about seeing the starting offense come out there against Rutgers and having Pelini, Moody, and Starrup out there from the center over through the right tackle.
It should be an interesting one, shouldn't it? I like 11 o'clock games.
It is. I'm looking forward to it. I just, like I said, I want to see that revamped offensive line again, and I want to know that it wasn't a fluke in that second hand.
He's Dr. Rob Zadisk. I'm Travis Justice. Make sure to go to RemingtonTrophy.com for ticket, table, and sponsorship information on this year's Remington Trophy presentation that takes place January 17th at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. If you like this podcast, share it with your friends. You can find it on iTunes and Stitcher, and make sure to follow Dr. Rob on Twitter at Doc Talk Sports. We'll talk to you next week on the Husker Doc Talk Podcast presented by the Remington Trophy.